Good morning, Rock Bible Church.
Morning.
That's pretty good for usual. Happy Mother's Day. That was terrible. This is Mom's Day. We're going to try it again, okay? You sang well. You talked even better. Okay, here it comes. You ready? Happy Mother's Day. Okay, good. You like your moms? Because we're going to talk about them a little bit today. A little bit. All right? Welcome to Rock Bible Church. We are a Christ-centered, biblically-based, compelling casual community. And we're compelling ourselves and others to Christ in casual ways that welcome all to worship. Be in a community that serves the greater community. Amen? Amen. Men, I would love to hang out with you this Monday night. We're continuing our men's group study on Meet Pete, or the Peter Meter. Who was Peter? How does he measure up? Good and bad? How do we compare the whole thing? We've been going through a bunch of stuff. We're in the book of Acts looking at how he's really just ascended. He would have been a great guy on Mother's Day. And one of the things we're going to do this Monday night, we're on tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right back out here. We're going to see how you did on Mother's Day. There's going to be a report card and a report, the whole thing. No, we're not. But would love to have you. If you're interested in that, come see me afterwards. And then just want to check back in. We had a family meeting beginning of the year. A lot of you are here. We talked about some fun stuff, maybe an associate pastor. We got a roof that we want to make sure never leaks. And we got some updates on those coming soon. We have been working on it. We haven't forgot you. And as soon as we have some information, we'll make more of an announcement. But be praying. Amen? And be praying. So welcome on this Mother's Day. We are continuing our series in the book of Luke, From His Eyes to Ours. How did he record the gospel? How did he record the story of Jesus, all that he did, said, and then what comes from it? And I think it's amazing to see firsthand accounts of people who walked, talked, lived with, and how do they view it? How does it change them? What do they have to teach? And we're gonna see a fun one today, and let's just get in. It's Luke chapter 18 through 36. There's a couple stories in here. They're fairly short, but we're going to have a little fun with it, right? And first, somebody said it. We're going to pray. We're going to have to do a sermon on prayer, maybe. Lord, thanks for this morning, and thanks for what we get to do here. May we be reminded that the two greatest reasons we get to do this is, one, you, and two, we all had moms. And thank you for them. May this be a great day for them. If they're gone, for us remembering them, may we see you in them, and may we see you in this time, in this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. No precursor. Let's just jump in. 9, verse 18. Now it happened, as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he asked them, very interesting question, who do the crowds say that I am? Weird. Jesus is asking what other people are saying about him. We have different ways of what we call that these days. Any guesses? Any offerings? What do you call, when someone else talks about you, rumors. What else?
Gossip,
rumors, and gossip. We got a passage on rumors and gossip, and Jesus brings it up. Unbelievable. Well, let's see what comes out of it. They answered, John the Baptist. True or false? Okay. Others say Elijah. True or false? Now, we're going to remember from previous week, Elijah never died, right? So I guess impossibility, who could be back because he never died, right? How much sense would that make? So the rumor about Elijah was a little off logically. What would it be based on? Prophecy, maybe. Elijah's back. Feels like a little bit of junk. Nonsense. What about the previous one, John the Baptist? Why would it be illogical that John the Baptist was back? In fact, we heard it last week in that passage. There was a separation of cabeza del cuerpo. Like, there's no head connected to the body. I mean, you could just look at him. Is there a line there? Scar? So are rumors and gossip, are they based in reality? It's so funny because nobody wants to answer that question out loud. It's okay. We're gonna answer it today. We're going to answer it today. What about this? And others, that one of the prophets of old has risen. They have not risen indeed. How much would this sense would this make? Have we ever seen this happen before? Prior to this, have we seen a prophet come back to life? We have yet to see this. Is it possible? Okay, it's possible. I got one voter for it's possible. Are these rumors and gossip, they make sense? Why is Jesus asked the question? Why even entertain the rumors and the gossips about who he is? In fact, and Jesus, this is the weirdest thing. You know, a lot of the stuff in the Bible is stuff that God initiates, right? Hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That's how that story started? What? Here he says, hey, who do they say I am? He initiates it. Why would he initiate that? How about he wants to teach him something? What would he want to teach? What does he always teach? What's the goal of his teaching every single time to get to? Starts with T and ends with Ruth. We get through the rumors and the gossip in order to get to the truth. Are rumors and gossip true? I'll ask the question again. No. Are they based in truth? No, they never are. They're a twisted version that looks something like, and the only reason to ever entertain rumors or gossip is to get through it, past it, and get to what is actual truth. Love that. I know some people where if you try to gossip with them, hey, I want to tell you a rumor. What did they do? Please, I don't want to hear it. Keep that to yourself. I don't want to engage in that. Love that. Well, let's see what Jesus does with this, if this is actually what happens. Then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Oh, we're back to rumors and gossip? And forget what all them say. They got it wrong. But now I'm going to ask you what you think. Rather than tell them the truth, he gives them an opportunity to respond and ask, what's your gossip about me? What's your rumor about me? What's he really asking? There's a much better word for rumor or gossip. Look at your outline. It starts with a C and rhymes with session. A confession. Do you know that a rumor and gossip, you know it's really a confession? Can I use you as an example? Sure. Can I use you as an example?
What if I said no?
Yes, you can.
Then we'd have even more fun. Now I'm going to use you twice. If Doug says something, is it true? Careful. We'll leave that one hanging. Is it a confession about what he thinks, feels, That's all it is. Are we 100% correct, right, in our observations, in our evaluations, in our conclusions? You know what Jesus said? There's none perfect. How about even better? There's none righteous. No, not one. I love that. I love that the smallest words in the Bible are usually the most powerful. There's not one. What do rumors and gossip do for you? They point out the confession of someone else rather than point you to truth. Unless you have the strength to say, I'm going to push through this and I'm going to get to what's actually true. And that's what Jesus is doing. He says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. Watch what Jesus does with this. And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one. Wait, what? Jesus, we just established that all the rumors are wrong. The gossip is off. In fact, Peter speaking, I just barely got it right. Because you can get stuff right once in a while, right? What do they say about blind dogs and their dish? Blind squirrel finds its nut once in a while. Blind dog finds its dish once in a while. We're going to get close to truth from time to time. But then he says, don't rumor or gossip. I don't want you to confess for a while. Doesn't this blow in the face of everything we kind of feel like we've learned as Christians and churchgoers? We're supposed to share the God. Why would he do this? In this case, we have something interesting going here. Here's why. Saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things. True? And be rejected by the elders. True? Which is, by the way, a reason you would never want to be an elder. Just being funny here. Rejected by the chief priests and the scribes. True? To be killed. True? And on the third day, be raised. True? He says, don't tell anybody. Why? Because I'm going to do this. And then I want everybody to have their own experience so they can have their own. I heard it. Confession. Have your own confession. Rather than listen to other people's rumors and others keep people's gossip, which, by the way, the Bible says gossip is a sin. Stay away from that. Come up with your own confession. Your own idea of who God is. Have your own experience with him. And he says, we've got a unique thing coming up here. It's the pinnacle of all existence, the cross. And I want people to experience it. I want them to see it and let them hear their rumors or whatever. But don't give it away. Don't give them the cheat code. Have them come to a conclusion about who I am on their own. Now, why do we like that? There's a lot of reasons why I would dislike that. Why would we like that? What freedom does that give to me, Scott, as just a dude? Do I have to buy hook, line, and sinker everything that Gene tells me? Scott, that one's too hard. Can you go back to Doug?
Yes.
That's two. Yeah. I get the freedom to have my own relationship with the Lord. Why do we like this? Because you get some semblance of ownership. Rumors and gossip are bad. I'll prove it to you. In fact, your mom proves it. Do you remember, like, for a while, like, your mama was like, it was a bad thing. Like, if you talk about somebody's mom, that's not good. Why was that not good? It's still not good, right? Somebody says something about your mom, Some would say it's go time, right? Because they're right. No, because they're wrong. Pretty much almost everything that's ever been said about your mom is wrong. Why? Because even the nicest things is still going to be a little bit off. There's nothing anybody in this room that could say about my mom that's nice enough that it would hit the standard of how I think, feel about her. You could say amazing things about my mom. And you know what I think? I like her even more than anything you could say. So you're wrong. So don't talk about my mom. If we talked about your mom, would we get it right? Is she better than I think? Poor guys. It's like we're in the second row for the first time. Hey, love this. You guys are on both sides of your mom. Here's the thing. Even you two have different opinions on how great mom is. And probably for fun, you both think you like her more than the other guy. You should see the looks on their face. They're just laughing, smiling. Yeah. Yeah. We've yet to splash, but it is the splash zone. Here's another one. I was just thinking about this one the other day because your pastor's a little weird. Majority of highways in the state of California, 65 miles an hour. Now, you could drive 65 miles an hour and have a very different experience depending on what road you're on. You could be driving 65 miles an hour and you better get all the way to the right and be careful because everybody's going to pass you like you're standing still, like you're parked, because they're just past you. And then there's other times where you could drive 65 miles an hour and you better slow down because everybody's slowed down and you're just wailing down the fast lane. Everybody's trying to get off the freeway and it's not safe for you to go that fast. So is 65 miles an hour good? Well, I don't know. It's the law, but you can have very different experiences based on what the crowd is doing. The only thing that's true when you drive 65 miles an hour is that you are driving 65 miles an hour. Everything else is going to be based on what does the crowd think, the crowd of cars. They're either going too fast, too slow. Once in a while, you're all just gelled and everything's fine, kind of. Except for the people that think everybody's going too fast, and then the other people who think that everybody's going too slow because they're late and they got to go, and then never works out. What does this tell us about crowds and rumors and moms? Everything's wrong. Where do we get truth then? I have my truth about my mom. It's one of the greatest theological things that I've learned. I get to have my own relationship with my mom, and I get to have my own relationship with my God. Praise Him and thanks for her. Wow. Jesus says, let other people have their own 65 mile an hour experience. Stop giving them directions on it. Now, I am never going to say that we ignore speed limit signs and the lines and the lights and all that stuff, right? I'm just saying. Just clarify that. He says, don't tell anybody because we're going to do this together. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. How often are we taking up the cross? Daily, easier way to say that, all the time, right? And what was a prerequisite for taking up the cross and following him? Deny yourself? Do you know what rumors and gossip people are doing? Indulging themselves is one way to say it. Elevating themselves, another way to say it. Self-serving. You know what? You know what Fred told me? You'll never believe. The endorphins and all that. Let's talk really bad about Wilma. What does that do? It's terrible. forever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And here's where we get to the basis of truth and the protection from rumors and gossip. Jesus Christ. Does this work in his sake, toward his agenda, match with his identity, mirror his value of your neighbor? So you got to get past yourself. You got to get past all these little things, and you got to figure out that you're gonna give in to somebody else. This is where moms come in. Who'd you learn to submit to first? Mom. Some would say dad, you know. Some of us who were spanked or whatever, dad was a little more disciplinary. He's like, oh, I'm going to obey him first. No, no, no. Because mom got a little discipline, but mom's also nicer. There's a better payoff. You learn to submit to mom. You deny self and go, hey, mom, hey, mom knows best, right? And mom ain't happy. You can't say nobody's happy. You got to say ain't nobody happy. Okay, that's the true way that that's supposed to be quoted. We have learned to turn over to someone else when they're good. Gossips and rumor are almost never good. We don't turn ourselves over to that. We turn ourselves over to Christ, and we've learned how to do it already because moms are great teachers. Now, I'm just going to add a little disclaimer. I know every once in a while, the low, low percentage, you had a bad mom. Sorry. The general rule, though, 99.9, good experience. Why would God give us a mom? One of the reasons is to teach us how to follow and stay alive and not burn your hand and get cookies and correct you when you lie. Because when there's cookies and one of them's gone and mom comes in and says, Scotty, there's only one of them here. Where'd the cookie go? Now, I was young enough. I have no recollection of this story. But to hear my mom tell it, my response was, there was a bear. I tried to sell to my mom as a kid that a bear came in the house, ate one cookie, touched nothing else. I mean, what a great story. I love that I was so sinful just for the glory of the story. Mom had to correct me through that. A lot of times. Follow me, says. You got to give up yourself. For, verse 25, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Rhetorical question? Implied answer. Right? Nothing. There's another truth in there. You're going to deny yourself or you're going to forfeit yourself. Guess who's losing self eventually, no matter what? All. You're going to all, and I mean, mom's always right. There's nothing you can do, right? I learned in my house, there was this all-encompassing truth. When everything would come up, I'd be like, why? And my dad would say, because I'm the dad. And I never figured out how to argue that. And so everything went his way. It's a great theological truth, taught in weird ways by a human father to a dippy kid. At some point, we got to learn how to give over ourselves. Do you know what marriage is? You got to cater to them, cherish them, sacrifice for them, love them, listen to them, help them. Weirdest thing. You have to learn that. You know, ladies have to learn that, I think, in a harder way than guys do. I just am a firm believer that guys get the better deal in marriage. I know. I mean, I could be wrong about that. But ladies, I love this about you. You got to learn how to do that with your husband, because when you have a kid who's losing themselves a little bit, mom more than anybody else, moms have learned how to serve, how to sacrifice, how to love and care beyond all measure, no matter what, to the point where kids get confused and think that's normal. And they go out into the world and experience nowhere else, and they feel cheated. Why? Because mom was so awesome. Because she learned how to deny self. Everyone, I mentioned that 0.1% of moms that are bad, they're the ones that forfeit themselves. And they realize it too late. And they have a horrible experience. Let's hear it for moms, eh? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I feel like we got to say amen. But I tell you, verse 27, truly, ooh, telling the truth, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Whoa. Wait, the kingdom of God's already here? Did they see it? I mean, we mistakenly like to say or think that that's when the Lord returns and the rapture and we all go to heaven. And has that happened yet? Say no. Obvious, most obvious question in church. So what's he getting at? Did kingdom of God happen? In a lot of ways it did. He just said, the Son of Man must be turned over, denied by the elders, whatever, killed, and on the third day raised again. You know what? People are going to see that. They're going to experience it. Now, is that it? Say no. Even more is the experience of God and starting to have your own confession of the reality of God's existence, who he is, what he does, what he offers. The healing, the truth, all of that stuff that comes together. The learning of how to replicate it to the best of your ability amongst other flawed people. How great is that? That's what I want to see. I'm a firm believer that you get to experience the kingdom of God before you get to heaven. Amen? If that's questionable for you, let's talk, because I want to get you there too. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. This is Peter who got it right, right? You're the Christ of God. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothing became dazzling. And the slide changed. Dazzling white. Behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. Stop the press. I thought we'd never had a prophet come back from the dead. Uh-oh. What just happened? Does Moses qualify? No, we're not going to argue about Elijah because he never died. But him coming back is a little bit weird because he was in heaven. And now he's back. So remember the gossip and the rumors about that were totally wrong about who Jesus was? They were based in some kind of belief that this could happen. And then all of a sudden it does happen. This had to be just mind-blowing for these three disciples. Wait, I just heard that all that is wrong and that you're the Christ, but now we're having this experience. Well, you're definitely different from them because now we're differentiating. He can't be Moses and he can't be Elijah if he's standing there with him. Great reason for God to do this. And showing what's possible, love that I asked if this was possible and somebody said yes. Verse 31, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure. You know that plan he just laid out a second ago? Which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavily with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. That'll wake you up. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, remember Peter who got it right? Watch him get it wrong. Master, it is good that we are here. Oh, you're determining what's good now, Peter? Is this a true statement? Well, I don't know, Scott. If it's Peter's judgment that it's good, then it's wrong. If it's Peter's acknowledgement that Jesus brought them here and that was Jesus' decision, then that would be good. It could be one or the other, or as we like to say here, both. We're dabbling into maybe being half wrong. Watch what happens. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said. What's Luke's commentary on this? I love this. He got it wrong. Is this an idea he's generating himself? That's kind of like the crowd coming up with an idea. Then he starts to talk. That's like, wait a minute, if Jesus brought you here, why don't you wait until Jesus give you a direction rather than you want to jump in and do something, initiate? Peter been known for starting stuff and acting prior to instruction or using his brain? Good news, none of us do that. Isn't he bite my tongue really hard? Let's make tents. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. This is kind of like he says something that's off and then the whole scenario changes and they're, what is happening? Did we just totally dismiss Peter? Say yes. Who dismissed him? Let's find out. And they were afraid. Verse 35, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. I love this. Says, this is my son. Who's speaking? The voice from the cloud. But if it's the dad, I mean, and it's got to be God, right? God the Father. My chosen one. Does it say anything about you or what you want to do? In fact, we're way past the tense. I have no interest in your agenda for this setting here, Peter. And then shouldn't it say, talk about him, promote him everywhere? It says, listen to him. Stop talking and start listening. It's a great, great set of instructions for us. In our approach to confession of who Christ is, who God is, what's our experience with him, how about we stop talking about it and start listening? Not to the rumors of the crowd, but listening to who? Listen to God. I think one of the simplest things in my life is when people start talking about God, I think to myself, is that in Scripture? Does God say that about himself? Or I can say, oh, that, yeah, that's, I, gosh, that's in Ephesians, that's this place, that, I know, yeah, that's because I heard it from God first. Listen to him. We have this fat book of what? Him speaking to us. And I want to point out something else. He uses really small words. I talk about this a lot, right? All, one, none, every, sin, God. Can you imagine if he used really, really big words to fill his message to us? What would happen? I mean, Scott's out to start. I had too big of words. I don't know. Somebody smarter here. I need a thesaurus like all the time. Why write it in all the small words in simple terms? So everybody can get it. It's just great because he wants us to listen. You can find a word propitiation in the Bible, like just maybe one or two places, right? It's much better to just say payment. He was the propitiation for our sins. And everybody's looking around like, hey, do you know what that means? I don't know. Paid. He paid for sins. That's the short version. How much better is it if we write it that way? That's why he wrote what he wrote in Koine Greek so the whole known world could understand it. Praise him for that. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They kept silent. stopped talking and listened and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. Wow. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen? All right. I want to cover a couple things here. One, these are just questions about your confessions. We got a problem when it comes to confessions. And the questions are going to address these problems. And the problems have to do with the crowd and the cross. In fact, the sermon almost was called today, Confessions, Crowds, and the Cross. Then I got into this weird question thing, and so we landed on questions and confessions. And here's the questions I think we're meant to ask based on what we've read. Is your confession the crowd's or your own? So many people are just twisted up about what has been said. Did you see in the news? Did you hear what so-and-so said? Hey, somebody posted, blah, blah, blah. Did you see how they treated me? You know what they think? I mean, I love the idea of who cares? Tell me about God. Where is he in it? What has he said? And can you hold on to that more than if the whole crowd goes super, super fast in one direction? Can you stay at 65? And just because everybody slows down to a stop because they're like, we got to get off, you say, no, I know where I'm going, and I'm going to stay 65. We have to develop our confession as to who Christ is to protect us from the rumors and the gossip and to keep us from rumors and gossip. And Jesus does a great, great job of pointing this out. Who do you say that I am? I am interested in your confession. And he does it before he reveals truth. That means our confession holds some weight up there with truth somehow. They're meant to be related, or I love this word because it's used so negatively sometimes. They're meant to be enmeshed. Sometimes enmeshed is great. And we've got to get past what the crowd thinks because the crowd is wrong. The crowd will make you think that you are flawed, that something is wrong with you. I had somebody tell me that they were flawed and it made me angry because there are no flawed people. He made you perfectly with flaws. Wait, Scott, you just double speaked out of both sides of your boca. That's mouth in Spanish. How could you be perfect if you're flawed? Because God made you flawed with holes on purpose. Why? Because he gave other people those strengths so you would have to have interaction and relationship because he's a relational God. Three in one, he's relational in his being. And so there's no such thing as flawed, or everybody is flawed. Which one's true? Both. It's amazing. The crowd will tell you differently. The crowd will tell you what you have to do. And they will tell you things that are absolutely wrong. And they will turn it into law. Unspoken. I hate, like, sometimes there's an unwritten rule. Unwritten rule about what? No. God makes the rules. But it's weird what we'll put up with, the things we'll listen to. And the way I like to say it, I've said it like this for a while now. What voices do you listen to? Who gets your ear? Who owns real estate in your mind? I love that one. Because real estate is astronomically expensive. Do you know the most expensive real estate? You know where in the world is the most expensive real estate? I set you up. True or false? That's my opinion. I just gave you a rumor or a gossip. Was it true? I don't know, Scott. I don't even like this game no more. How about better than here? It's more expensive here. Ooh. We might have just landed somewhere. Or the most expensive real estate belongs to God and we're yet to know. I like that one too. Thinking about it those ways helps me get away from spreading rumors or running along or listening to them or any of that stuff, because I need my confession to be my own. This is who I am. Because the crowd will tell you that Doug's head is this big. Do you know Doug's head is only this big? Imagine how small his brain is if that's... I mean, what happened? Right? What's the obvious problem with my statement? Perspective. And no one has perfect perspective. Get your perspective from God. Stop listening to crowds. Stop participating in rumors and gossip. Amen? Number two. Do you live like it happened? He said, shut up and listen, because I'm about to go do this, that. The elders are going to do this to me. I'm going to be rejected. They're going to kill me, and in 3 days, I'm going to rise from the dead. Do you live like that actually happened? Do you live like Jesus went through rumors and gossip and had to train 12 monkeys and get to a place where he could say, man, how long, O Lord, do I have to deal with this wicked generation? And it made sacrifice, and still gives you moms that accept you almost as much as God himself. Do you live like that's true, like that's a reality? Or are you living someone else's perceived reality? I want you to have your own experience. I want you to own that this did happen. It is my truth. Everybody will forfeit themselves to this at some point, or you can deny yourself ahead of time and start enjoying it now and live kingdom on earth. How great is that? And yet, all 12 disciples failed at it at some point. And they got kicked out, and that's it. No more relationship with God, no good experience, and is that false? How'd they all stay in? Because performance and behavior were never the marker. What's the marker? Relationship. Do you listen? There's no kid on the planet that deserves their parents after all the stuff they've done. They should have been tossed to the curb. This one's defaulty. Don't worry, we'll just make another one. That never happens. Like anybody saying, it's like, hey, I don't, okay, so you're not good at math, or you can't paint, or you didn't ride a bike until this age, or it took us this long to potty train you, or whatever. You don't like sushi? Get out. We got to get to that place. Do you live like it happened? Last question. I love that Peter starts talking and they don't even respond to him. It says all of a sudden the cloud comes in and overshadows him and says, we're moving forward with my agenda. Peter has a choice at that moment. He can decide to accept that. This is his chosen one and I will listen to him. He had to own that. Another way of saying that you're going to own something is to embrace it. And when God comes in and starts to overshadow you, are you willing to embrace it? Do you embrace the overshadow? It's a great thing. In fact, John the Baptist said this. He said, Jesus must become more and I must become less. How do I learn this exchange, this relational give and take where I give more than I take and somehow I gain more by giving more? If you struggle with understanding that, ask a mom. They might have trouble explaining it, but they've lived it almost every day of their life. I mean, they put up with your dad, right? God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Right? I found this out. We're going to end with this. And this just, I don't know, it hurt and then it cracked me up and the whole thing. And I kind of got permission for this one. I got like 50% permission on this one. I have friends who recently got a gift. And this gift came to them and they opened it up. And it's a photo. And it's a photo of them and they're all excited and it's great. And it was a photo that I had been in. I had been in this photo at this event where this picture was taken that they had remanufactured and framed and, you know, glass in the front. And then all of a sudden, they photoshopped Scott out and thought that that was a better photo. And I heard this. I was like, what? I got photoshopped out? What happened to my value? I was there. Like, yeah, but it's a better photo without you. And I had to come to terms with, that might be true. And it hurts. Most photos are better sans Scott or without Scott. How often is that true? Most of the time? How about almost all the time? How willing am I to be overshadowed that someone else might be the focus and the highlight? They get to act and do and be important, and their value gets to shine for a moment. And how okay are you with that, Scotty? The more I think about it, I love it more and more. It's amazing. How can I take myself out of more things? How can I Photoshop myself out? Hey, sometimes it's said like this, work yourself out of a job. Same kind of concept. Do you know what moms do? They work themselves out of a job. They get to the point where they're photoshopping themselves out of the way. And it's the weirdest thing. In fact, I was talking about this with a mom that I'm really, really, really close with. Two of them are gone. We only have one left. Eventually, they all leave. And we're out of the picture. It's brilliant. I love it. The crowd wants to be the picture. They perpetuate ideas and statements that keep them in the picture. We want Jesus in the picture and take ourselves out of want to be overshadowed. I just love that. What questions can you ask yourself that bring you to a greater confession of your experience with him? Guarantee a lot of them are closely aligned with your experience with mom. Happy Mother's Day and praise God. If you don't have a relationship with God, it can be even better than your relationship with your mom. And he's waiting for you, communicating with you, and wants to draw you in. If that's you and you want to make that decision, that's what we're here for. Come see me after. But you could pray a prayer. Lord, I want to be overshadowed this day forward. I want to be in the picture and yet not in the picture. I want you to take over. I believe you are the chosen one. I believe it actually happened, and I want to live like it from this day forward. Amen. And then come let us know. We want to help you. Lord, thanks for our passage, the truth that we get from it. Lord, forgive us and help us to step away from evil. We pray your kingdom come, as you talked about in this passage. Lord, Help us to live like it. Thanks for our moms, Lord. And thank you for this offering that we're about to receive. Pray, Lord, you would take it and bless it. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. May you embrace the overshadow. Amen. Go with him.